Coming to you live from Southwest Louisiana, this is the Hospitality Room Podcast with your host, Mr. Chuck.
I hear my cousin here. Cousin, you in here?
Oh, I am. My webcam is broken.
Oh, it's all good. Introduce yourself while I'm looking at this doc, and I've got some chicken scratch right here. Give me 1 sec. Let everybody know who you are in this podcast community.
And I am Jim.
Okay, go ahead.
My name is Jillian Brooks, and I am your cousin. And I'm pretty awesome.
You sure are.
Absolutely. Because I was sitting here, and don't get me wrong, I've been making just a little. So I'm just like, I'm about to say, hey, man, some motherfucker that jumped in the party.
I mean, I'm not looking at the page, but I'm pulling up some other stuff, is what I'm doing. But I just heard. So
I'm like, I didn't know people could just jump in here like this. I was confused.
I got an invitation. I was so excited.
We just got to talk about some break, so I'm on the edge. You'll have to excuse me.
We were talking about St. Brock Turner, and we played this video that the sister put up about not supporting brothers getting killed by the police, and we came, like, me and Q, we came to the foregone conclusion that she was correct in what she said. It was still kind of messed up, but, like, we understood. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that won't understand where she's coming from, but
nope.
I do, because I'm a witness to what happens. Like, I'll go ahead and play it again. All right, here we go.
All right, what it do, what it do, what does it ever do? This is A should be, and I'm here to address some shit. What I want to talk about is how recently I've seen you guys just doing so much gaslighting against black women because, like never before, there are so many women that are waking up and they're saying, you know what, I don't want to protest for black men anymore. And the reason why they don't want to protest is because there is no reciprocation. It's because when an incident in which a black woman is in harm's way, whether she's being killed by another black man, whether she is a victim of police brutality, because, you know, for some reason, nobody knows that black women are also victims of police brutality because you're too busy worrying about your sons, you know what I mean? So, whenever a black woman is a victim, there is no reciprocation for support from black men. You don't see black men out here protesting, marching, you know what I mean? You don't see black men out here saying her name like the slogan is. But somehow you expect for us to continue to march for black men, and that is not fair to us. That's not fair to us that you are silencing our issues, and in the same moment you expect us to continue to uplift black men and prioritize their issues. It does not work like that. Because you know what happens? I look online and I see, I'm paying attention, so I see when black women are being murdered. I see when black women are being raped. I see all types of victims that are black women. Mm-hmm. And I see black men jump on the poles and they're victim blaming them, saying how she brought it on herself, saying how she attracts what she attracts because of who she is. Well, she's not a true queen anyway because she's wearing weave, just a whole bunch of bullshit. Mm-hmm. And nobody cares. Nobody cares that that's happening to us. But at the same time, you expect us to continue to go out and protest. Nobody gave a fuck when Jessica Hampton was murdered by her own ex-boyfriend. Nobody cared. Because you know what happened? These black men, they sat up there, they videotaped it, and they uploaded it to Facebook. But what you're going to do is you're going to continue to feed this fallacy to us, and you're going to call these men our protectors, and they are not. They are not our protectors. And when we say that we don't want to protest for them, it is a problem. Fuck you. Fuck you. Stop gaslighting black women. We don't have to do shit because you know what? When all of this kind of calms, week or so, they'll be back to calling us dumb bitches, dumb hoes, we're too dark, we're too this, we're too that. And it's interesting to me because they say that we're not feminine enough. That's the main problem that they have with us, that we're not feminine enough. We're not feminine enough, but why is it that as soon as you are a victim of police brutality, now you want us to come out with the guns. Now you want us to show up and, you know, rah-rah and everything else. Those same voices that you complained about because they were too loud, you want us to yell at these police officers and risk our lives for you. Fuck you. Fuck you, because I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to sit up here and allow you to gaslight other black women into doing that. If you want support, then you need to reciprocate. If you want black women to be there for you, try being there for black women, because until then, I will never protest for a black man, and that is my word, and I will stand on that.
You know what, Q? It felt better the second time. Like I'm not even questioning it that much the second time since I heard it. Go ahead, cuz. What do you have to say about that? Like, how do you feel about that video?
Okay, can you hear me well?
Yes, you clear perfectly.
Yes.
Okay. I think she's brilliant, and she has wonderful points, and she sounds very well informed, also very angry, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with everything that she's saying. The whole Hotep crowd, I do understand, not that I agree with, I understand the black action of the black males. It's the stereotype of black women. They said there's just not that many stereotypes. All black women are expected to fit in these huge stereotypes. Either you're the whore, you're the sassy woman, the sassy woman, the ghetto person, or you're the caretaker. And I think a lot of black men are putting people into whores or caretakers. If you're a whore, you don't deserve to be taken care of. But if you're a caretaker, you don't deserve to be taken care of, because it's your job to take care of men. So I think it's more of the fact that black men have this strength, but also this fragility, to where they still expect to be the women to be stronger than them, while vocally saying the opposite. Because you're not out there marching for these women because you think that either you have all these kind of deals, oh, she's not a queen, oh, she's not this, how does she deserve this? Or even if you say she was, if you have no reason for not doing it, like if she was a perfect person, you're still going to expect her that, oh, she's an angel up in heaven, now God take care of her because she did the most, she was this, she was that. All these things to where you still don't have to act kind of deal. Because either we're not worth protecting, or we're so good that we can protect ourselves and we're immune to anything. So all these things, it seems to be there's this reason, these sound reasons for a black man not to act. And they're faulty. They're based on stereotypes that we have a problem with white people giving, using on us. And we have black men are using in the same community.
Yes.
So while they're saying, oh, we're not all thugs, but at the same time, you're not really giving us that opportunity to be individuals. Like there's these, for example, like in a natural hair thing, there's, oh, you're not sure, good for you. Or if you're still putting perms, you're dirty, you're lying, you're like the white man's whore kind of deal. Maybe she just wants to do it. Why do you have to judge? Not everybody has to be natural. Not everybody has to put perms. There's no room for individuality, but yet we hear black men yelling for the same thing. I'm a person. I'm an individual. But at the same time, you're not allowing that for the women.
Yes.
And how is that fair? How are you that different from black men? The only difference is that you have a shorter life expectancy, and you may not see it coming, and you have to tell everybody you love goodbye before you leave to go check the mailbox, because you might not make it back if a cop sees you. You just have a much shorter lifespan. But if your train of thought, how are you looking at black women differently than a white man is? You know, how are we not, you're not looking at me like I'm a whore. Oh, my hair is natural, so I'm a queen. So now I have to do everything organic. I can't even be eating like a candy bar because it's not organic. You know, like, come on, man. I don't want to be that. I want to be me. I don't want to fit into this bracket. At the same time, you know, that these black men stomping the street, declaring their individuality. But like I said, there's not that much wiggle room for black women.
Yeah.
And whenever we start talking on it, you get that you're not standing with us, you're dividing us. No, that's that's wrong. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. Every time a woman speaks up, you don't get to say that she's dividing us, and she's crushing black men beneath her heels. We're the opening our jaws and devouring black masculinity whole because we have an opinion. You can't do that, man, because how are you different from the majority?
Yeah.
Okay? It's not right. And you can't just, that's, when she's talking at the same time, while I agree with everything she says, she has valid points. How are you going to dispute that? At the same time, I see no problem with marching for black men because what I am is a mother of a black son.
Yes.
And even if I wasn't, this is a person who looks like me.
Yes.
I mean, even though I'm not a criminal, even though I'm not a criminal because I'm a woman, I am a whore. I am a werewolf queen, and my only goal in life is to have sex with an NBA player, get his baby, and get checks for forever and ever. You know, that's what people look at me. I'm not a person. You know, just because my stereotypes may give me a longer life expectancy, just because people are not going to shoot me immediately, don't get around to it. You know, I mean, don't get around to it. Give them enough time.
Sure.
So the fact is that I see that saying I'm not going to march for a black guy, that is very much within her rights. You know, that's allowing for individuality, and that's allowing for her to express her feelings the way she needs to. On the other hand, I feel that even though black men can be vexing, like the catcalling, the just the derogatory things, the way we treat women, I mean, at the same time, how do we can't stop being caretakers. And I guess maybe that's part of the problem, is that you look at us as like caretakers, and we're going to keep on doing that. Because how are we going to stop, you know? And I heard the expression that we give, you know, that we give birth to the slaughtered, you know? And that just, when you think about that, I'm going to do whatever I can to change that. I mean, even if it's going to march for that guy who thinks that, you know, I'm light-skinned enough to give him light-skinned babies, you know? And if we just put a lot of perms, they could have really good hair. You know, these people that don't have the same viewpoints are people that think I'm a whore. People, all these, just because you're not a perfect black man. And why do they need to be perfect? Sweet mercy, why do they need to be perfect? Oh, no, he had a criminal record.
That's mine.
Like, are you kidding me? Why do they need to be perfect? So my deal is I'm not going to wait for the black race to be perfect before I do something. I'll take it just as it is because I'm part of it, you know? And if you were perfect, I mean, how many people did God really take to heaven? There was Elijah and that other dude with the M name, whatever. He didn't take that many people, so he expect us not to be perfect. So I'm not going to sit up here and say, because you're not perfect, I'm not going to do anything. Or because you're not perfect, I'm not going to march for you. I'm going to say he kind of deserved it, or why didn't he do this? What I am going to do is saying that this is a problem, and we don't get to just focus on black men. Let's focus on Black Lives Matter, not black male lives matter. And people do have the right to speak. And solidarity, it would be nice, but at the same time, individuality is important, you know?
Yeah. I agree with everything you're saying. Like, could the... See, getting a little feedback here. My main grievance is the same thing as, like, I understand that I don't want to say plight, but let's just go with plight. The plight of black women is the same as the plight of black men. Except black men don't have to go through the misogyny. If brothers can't understand that, then we do have problems. And I take time out of my day to go and correct them about that. And you can't sympathize for one and then not understand the other. I just stopped getting into discussions with white people last week on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot. I stopped because it's not on me anymore. You have to enlighten yourself. Like, I'm not the one to do it because I don't have enough patience. Like, I can give you what I can to help you do it, but you have to understand that the plight of one oppressed person is pretty much the same plight of the other oppressed person. but people won't understand that. And it's worse for black women. It is really worse. And because I see it. I'm a witness to it. I witness it every day. Every day I get on social media, some type of brother with some type of, oh, the sisters need it. They need to do this. Like, there's no need, man. This is supposed to be equal opportunity. Since the 20s, the white women fought for it. Then once everything became quote unquote equal, women combined to fight for equality. That's just treated that way. Damn, it's not that hard. Yeah, I'm getting angry again. I'm getting angry like I was like 20 minutes ago. Okay. Q, you have anything to add in on this? Or?
Oh, man, I went ham earlier.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
So, we'll move on. Okay, cousin. I'll ask you the same question that I asked Q earlier. Since I don't work in, like, I don't work in the normal social environment. I cook with a bunch of, like, cooking nerds. That's what we are. We're all into cooking and stuff. So the conversation doesn't come up. Even, and I'm saying it doesn't come up because other things that are like headlining in the news and everything, we don't talk about it at work. Anything. So I wasn't expecting to talk about this. But since we have an intern from Jamaica and I talked to him, and we were comparing the different types of oppression, from the oppression here than to the oppression in Jamaica. But other than that, the question I'm asking you is, how was your week last week working amongst, you know? Yeah. Did you make it?
I made it. I made it. Okay, so here's what happened. I come home and I watch this this link. It happened to me the same way it happens to a lot of people. I heard where you accidentally watch Philando die. You didn't know you were watching that. You understand? And when you're watching it, you don't know how it's going to end. Is it going to end in one murder or two? So I put this on and I wasn't expecting it. I didn't read any captions. I didn't know the name. The video taught me his name. So I'm watching it and I'm in my bed watching this. And the only thing I'm thinking, I'm talking the way they accuse us of doing it in movie theaters. I'm doing that to my computer. And I'm telling her, stand still. You're doing so good. Stand still. Keep your hands. You're doing so good. And like I'm coaching her. You're doing so good. And she started, oh, did that just really happen? Like, calm down, lower your voice. And like, as if I'm coaching her and I'm just, you're doing so good. Good for you. You're doing so good. As if she could really hear me. And then afterwards, my husband's watching it with me. And then I end up having this discussion and telling him, don't get these uppity ideas thinking you're a person. You're not. A cop asks you to reach for your wallet. You tell him no, and you tell him why. Okay? Don't act like a cop understands what he wants. You're a large black man. Do not get uppity thinking you're a person. Don't be uppity thinking them laws apply to you. Don't be uppity. You tell him no. You do exactly what you're doing. You lower your tone. You avert your eyes. You go in full slave mode. My kids and your father. And then, unfortunately, you will teach this to my children. And that, just that conversation and realizing that to make your kids survive, you're going to teach them to be docile. Just that breaks your heart a bit, you know?
Yeah.
So I shuck it off and I get a good night's sleep. Okay, I get a night of sleep. Okay, I get some hours of sleep. So the next day I go to work, and I bike to work. And I don't know, on the ride there, I pass through this neighborhood that's nicer than the one I live in, which is for people that doesn't look like me reside there. The roads are smoother. Everything's quieter. There's no litter. And I just realized how much I'm meant to stay put, how much the place where I'm passing at, I don't belong there. And I started thinking, maybe if I slowed down, that would be a problem. And then I started thinking about Philando. Whatever, I make it to work. And then I realized I work in retail, and I'm going to be dealing with customers for the next 8 hours. And I can't be having my feelings showing.
Yeah.
So I park my bike and in the back of the building, and I sit outside, and I cry just to get it out. Not boo-hoo, I can't believe this happened. Of course I can believe it happened. I mean, and I'm at this point. Here's how gutted this point is. I'm at the point where, okay, this guy died. My husband should be good for another day, okay? I'm at this point to where it's sad that he died, but at this part is my husband's still alive, so good. It's kind of this kind of criminal, animalistic kind of deal. We're still fine. Everyone in my family is alive kind of deal.
Yeah.
And feeling that, I sit on the side of the building and I get it out. I bleed it all out because I know I'm going to get in that building and I'm going to smile. And I'm not going to see color and I'm not going to see race. And we're all going to be equal because all lives matter. And I'll use that. And I'll use that for the entire time because you ain't paying me to educate y'all. And it's your job. There's this woman, this brilliant woman that says it is not the responsibility of the oppressed to explain to the oppressor the rules of oppression and why they are benefiting. She said, it is not your job, and I hold that to dear heart. It is not my job to explain to y'all, okay?
Yes.
So I go there, and I do my job like Philando. I never heard the name. Like, I didn't watch him die. Like, all these things never happened. And sure enough, because I'm friendly and I'm happy, black people don't talk to me about it, because I figure we're in survival mode. We get through the day how we get through the day. Okay, that's it. Ain't nobody coming to me expecting me to hold your hand.
Yeah,
we don't do that to you.
You get the look
at
from
the most. At the most, you'll say is, "Man, you saw that S," or "Man," and that's it. And then there'll be silence. Ain't nobody gonna be going at it like that because you know you're on a clock and you know you don't want to go into Black Panther mode because whatever.
Yes,
our uniforms is blue. We can't be Black Panthers on a clock because we don't match. So anyway, sure enough, I'm there, and there's this woman who finds me. Her department is all the way on the other side of the store. She finds me. And I'm guessing she found me to make a point, you know, to sympathize with me as a Black person who talked to her. So, you know, that white person who comes talk to you to let you know that they understand and that they had to explain to another white person the plight of Black people?
Yes.
But then they have to find a Black person to let that Black person know that they just explained to a white person.
Yes.
Okay. So she finds me, and Lord bless them. She finds me, and I know exactly what this is, so I know this is not about you. Take, just chill. She ain't up for that. Just, you know, when you're talking bonics in your head, but you talk real crop on out.
Yes.
She ain't up for that. Don't even do it. She ain't ready. She don't know nothing. Look, bro, let it slide. Let it ride. Just walk away. Say what you got to say. Don't curse. Yeah, I completely understand. Oh, is that what you said? Oh, yeah. That sounds really like it was really hard for you to deal with.
Oh,
okay. And pretty much doing all that until she got to the point to where she said, I'm sick and tired of hearing these white people complain about the cops. Yeah, it was tragic, but two wrongs don't make it right. They weren't complaining when the cops were shooting those Black people, and they weren't complaining, but they want to say this. They shouldn't have said that. Two wrongs don't make it right, and that's what I want to say. We all just need to get along. Cool. Rodney said the same thing, but she ain't here for that. Don't let that come on. How did it work out for Rodney? Don't let it come on. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then she says this. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. She says, the only thing I don't understand.
Oh,
no. The only thing I don't understand is why she was videotaping it. Because that made her look bad. Why she had to have the videotape out? Because it automatically made her look guilty. So.
What? If we unfortunately wouldn't have seen this video, the story wouldn't even been out like it is.
Let me help y'all. Let me finish this. She also said, you know how cops always be, they say they can't find the footage or shit, but I don't understand why she was taping it. So the deal is that what I learned is to ask if they want to answer. Because if you just hear the vent about how you're pro-black, I'm going to let you have your moment, okay? I'm going to let you have that. Because, you know, I ain't here for you like that. So I was like, do you want to know what I think? She's like, yeah, please, tell me. So I said, she was videotaping it so she wouldn't die. What do you mean? She was videotaping it so he wouldn't kill her. He didn't have a body camera. They still haven't released the footage, have they? Hers is the only footage you've seen. Wouldn't it have been really, really easy for them both to have been druggies? To both have been really violent criminals? No one would have questioned it. She was videotaping it so she wouldn't die. And every black person who was watching it was probably thinking the same thing I was thinking. Is he going to kill her too? And she was also thinking it is, she has no idea what's going on. She just knows that it should be on tape to protect herself. And also she had a child in the car. And maybe she wasn't even thinking at all. Maybe she was just thinking, this is a phone, this is Facebook, I see a lot of these videos, you know, this I should do. But my basic thing was, she was taping it so she wouldn't die. And you have that right. You know, yeah. Not to have a gun, because we're not allowed to have a gun, no matter what law says. You are not allowed to be black with a gun. You're not allowed to be black and dark-skinned at night. Because, you know, go to hell on you, okay? Go to hell on you. You can't be dark-skinned at night, okay?
Yes.
But, yeah. So, she's allowed to be black and still have a phone. Is that right? But you're trying to say she's not allowed to have a phone. That's my whole deal. So, when she said that, I was like, she's like, oh, is that why? I'm like, yeah, I would think so. That makes sense. So it never occurred to you that she was taping it so she wouldn't die, so he wouldn't kill her. Well, yeah, but like they were saying, two wrongs don't make it right. Okay, it was so nice to talk to you. I'll see you later. And thinking in my head, never see her again. Never see her again. Oh, God, I hate white people. And of course, thinking that that's not right to say, and I'm wrong for saying that. But that's how one day of my week was, and you know the rest was kind of the same.
Like I said earlier, when I was just going to the store, I was going to get something like I usually do because I'm a night owl. I would get me like I don't drink like liquor a lot, but I would get me something to drink like a vitamin water, something like that at the store. And I just happened to see the video, and I was sitting in my car, and I lost it at that point because this was the first video that I watched all the way through since Walter Scott got shot in the back 5 times. I never fully looked at the Alton Sterling video. I didn't. I stopped it because I already knew what was going to happen. Once I seen him was pinned on the ground, oh, they said he died. I know how he died. I don't need to see it. My mind doesn't need to process that.
But,
yeah.
And do you really need to watch it? You could always wait for the next one.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a list.
I watched that one. There will be a couple of more. Catch a rerun.
Like, right now, they could play a game, like, in... We just throw out random names, and you'd be like, oh, did this person die by the police? Possibly, yeah. Did this brother die by the police? Oh, yeah, possibly. Did the policeman get off? Hell yeah. Did he get off? Hell yeah. There's no convictions. That's my thing. It's really no justice. So it's like you're just eliminating somebody from the earth without a proper explanation. Because an acquittal is not a real explanation. Just because you got acquitted of it doesn't explain why this dude is not breathing.
You ever wished that you looked more like a monkey? Because, you know, they went hard for that gorilla's rights.
Oh, yes.
You don't look like gorillas enough. Because, yes. I mean, wouldn't somebody have gotten convicted? I mean, they damn near wanted to tear that black mother up.
Oh, they wanted to charge her with neglect. She was. They were trying to charge her and the husband with neglect. Yeah. It got real in the field with that one.
We gotta look like monkeys so a cop can get convicted.
Okay. Next question. Okay, since we all have kids here, well, mine is not old enough to understand what's going on. Thank you. Thank you so much for helping out there. Okay. What should be the parameters of the talk? And it's so sad that we have to have a talk other than, you know, the sex talk. But what are the parameters? What should we discuss in the talk?
Let me do mine, because mine ain't that old, so the talk wasn't long. Not sure I was on the brink. I'm 8, so you know that. That's like right when it's... She's seeing and she's asking, and she knows something's up.
Mm-hmm.
She's asking, like, you know, she's just asking and starting to feel self-conscious about things that a small child is supposed to think about. And we've already kept it real. We let her know what's up. I mean, let her know about boys. You know, we do the whole, because it started with the period talk, you know, to kind of ease into like serious stuff.
Yeah.
Then started with like everything. I mean, being aware, understanding race, because we were talking about, I think it was Native American. And it was around Thanksgiving. She was talking about the story, and just had Columbus Day, so we just kept it and told them, you know, where it came from and how she can't be coming through the house, you know, mimicking Indian culture because it's not cool, and why it's not cool, and, you know, asking her if she's really confused, you know, ask your teacher. I mean, that's what y'all supposed to learn in school, you know. So we let it be known, because, I mean, this world is like so messed up and people ain't worth a damn. So I don't trust the world enough to not equip my child. I mean, yes, I feel like 10 years ago, 8 years old would have been too young, but not today. Like, she's seeing too much. These kids are like connected to the grid all the time. Like, man, they're desensitized. They see so much death on video. Like, we wasn't exposed to that. So, like, we're not. You know, like, they just, oh, it's just somebody dead. Oh, it's just something bad happened. Oh, it's just, they're like, you know, nonchalant about a lot of stuff. So, we just try to keep it real. So, we keep it.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead. I really don't know what to say in the talk, because my child is, I have a little half and half. So I'm still trying to picture how I'm going to approach this, because, like, I really don't know. And I wanted to go next because I don't know. That's why I had the question down. I don't know what to say, because it's like if you, baby girl, if you don't comply, there's a chance you might get shot. But if you do comply, there's a chance you might get shot. If you reach for anything, there's a chance you could get shot. Like, to me, that's so hard to, it would be so hard to explain that just for doing certain movements that, oh, you'd be full of bullets within a second of that happening. I don't know how to explain that yet, because it's something that still baffles me. Like, I don't know how you can see someone as a threat just on sight. You know, see him as a threat and they're still in their seatbelt. What was he really gonna do?
But we athletic, man.
You know it. Oh man, that's why you my boy. You know why.
No, if I could just interject for one quick second on something Jalene said earlier, when you were saying like, I don't know what we could do, and it was like you were just like on point. You're like, you got to go in slave mode. You know, like I don't know nothing.
That's my thing. If you soft shoot too much, they might shoot you for that. Like, you can't, there's no certain thing that you can do that will not end up with you getting shot, period.
I recommend referring to him all the time as boss. You know, slow shaker, you know. What if you want, boss? You want me to get this wallet for you, boss? I get it real slow, boss. But you can't sound sarcastic. Like, I think I have too much other education seeping through. You have to really sound like you really want to please them and boss all the time. And not, and don't pronounce it like it's spelled like B-A-W-S-S, okay? Like, don't trust, don't read it, okay? Say it from your soul. Read it how your soul is telling you to say it, boss, okay? And don't talk fast. And don't be using bigger words than him. Then you fell in your time. Okay?
I've got my plastic card that says I can drive. And this little piece of paper that says my car's protected. Right here. There you go, boss. Right here.
But you can't be like going, walk up to him. You can't move all fast and hand it to him. You know, like, so, okay, before you do your talk thing, like, what is, like, the most agreed upon way to hand the police your shit without getting killed?
Yeah, because you can't reach for it after you stop. Yeah, like, because if you reach for it, they're shooting you.
My pocket right now. Like, is it like that, or is it?
No.
Okay, here's the, honestly, like, to honest answer for you, narration. The entire time, slow narration and repeat yourself. I'm going to reach into my pocket right now. I'm not pulling out anything. I'm only getting my wallet. Are you okay? I'm reaching right now. I don't have anything on me. And you constantly narrate. You know how, I was raised on a farm, so you know how you talk to a horse that got, like, anger issues? You talk to that cop like he fixing to kick you, you know, with bullets. Yeah. With bullets, okay? You were like, I'm reaching into my wallet right now. Do not talk fast. Do not startle him. And you repeat yourself in that slow voice. Like, you know, when you're on a farm, they tell you take all the highs out of your voice. Like, if you're in puberty, you better grow up real quick. You need to take all the highs. Hope your voice don't crack, okay? Like, learn sign language or something. I don't know, whatever. Like, I'm reaching into my wallet right now, sir. I'm reaching right now. I'm only getting my wallet. Are you okay? Would you like me to reach in? I'm only using one hand. I'm still reaching. Constant narration, really, really slow motions, really, really slow words, really, really small words, and repeat yourself. And if you do this, I guarantee nothing. I guarantee nothing. All right?
Man. Yeah, look. I was feeling it. This is the war.
Okay. I recently got a ticket for speeding. Okay? This was in late May, honestly. So I do this thing naturally where I don't keep my license in my wallet. I keep it in my middle console, and it's conveniently right next to my insurance papers and the registration for my car, which should be in my glove box, but for some reason, I keep it in my middle console. So as soon as I see the lights behind me, I'm reaching, I'm pulling it out already. I got it on my lap. Yeah. As I'm pulling to the side of the road. So when he comes up, and since we were like on the interstate, you can say, he came from the passenger side, and he looked in, and he was like, license, registration. I was like, oh, look, I got it right here. Boom. And, I mean, everything went well, because I'm here, you know. But, as a thing, is I'm not going, and I never did say that they were all bad, but there's so much of a buddy-buddy system there, so much of a camaraderie, a brotherhood, to where the good ones are not, they're not, there's nothing that's encouraging them to speak out on the bad stuff that they see. So, by right, that means they're condoning it by association. Mm. And that's where I stand on that. Jalene, what are your parameters for the talk? Or do you, you know, like, how do you feel about that?
I think I got a little bit, I am very scared. I have three kids, two boys and one girl. And what scares me is my oldest son. He's nine. I think he's nine. I had him that one time. I had him in 2007. whatever. Y'all do the math. I'm not doing math. Anyway. Yeah. Here's the deal. He's my love, and he's autistic. You understand? So the problem is that, and you hear what I just said? The problem is he's going to be physically tall, physically big, and he's autistic. So no one's going to ask him, are you understanding? What are you, this and this, whatever. No one's going, because you know only white people have mental problems that matter.
Yeah, because that's the only reason that they kill other people.
Exactly. Their heart is good. It's just that their wiring got mixed up.
Okay? Yeah.
So black people aren't allowed to have mental issues. You know, let's not even get into the psychology of why black women are never allowed, you know, the strength thing. But whatever, back to my kid.
Yeah.
So I'm physically nauseated. Or like when I watch the video, I actually tell myself that, oh, I don't have to watch this video of this black man dying. I'll catch the next one. You know, it's not like there's any solution. There's not like there's any one goddamn conviction. There's not any of this going on. So what's to make me think it's going to stop? So I get, and the best part about it is, so when this Black Lives Matter thing sprung up, my heart, it felt like someone was talking for me, because I felt this way since before Trayvon. And now there are these people who says, we're not going to kill you. We're not going to be militant about it, but we just want to say this repeatedly. We want to broadcast this around the world so maybe you could think a half a second before you shoot one of us. So when they were saying that, it felt like everything to me. All this, just, yeah, I just wish other people felt anything about it. And the fact that they had a comeback with All Lives Matter, you can't come at me with that. Okay, whatever. But that's that one thing. My daughter, I don't feel that my daughter's going to get shot. I feel like there's a big probability, you know, there's a high probability that my son's, because black men are scary animals with base instincts, you know. Like my husband has a 9-to-5 raping, you know, like all black men. And only elderly white women, okay? So, and blonde hair, blue eye, okay? Because, you know, us, them animals have standards. So, being as though, you know, black men are criminalized and as these deviants and these fearful stuff that you must put down and you must euthanize is a good, no, euthanize, I should not use that because euthanization is painless, isn't it? Murder is not.
Nope.
So let's not ever use that euthanization because we're not treated as good as animals. But you know what? I'm getting riled up, so let me back off of that and back away from that crap. Y'all could, I got to go to bed. Okay, let me chill.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about my daughter. I don't tell my daughter, like, my daughter's one, and I don't talk to her. I don't think I'm ever going to talk to her about he might shoot you. I tell her the facts, the everyday facts. When people look at you, you don't look like a wife. It doesn't matter. Don't lie and tell you if you wear pearls or this way, if you look like a wife. You're a whore. Okay, and no matter if you're going to college, your only aspiration is to be in a video. And if you're wearing baggy clothes, it's only because you don't have enough money to save up for tight clothes. Okay, you want men to look at you, and you always want sex. Sex and money, that's the only things in your head. And if someone gave you welfare, you'll do anything for it, won't you? So, and when we're in church, I stopped going to this church. I'm not even going. I would love to throw out names, but I'm not going to do that because, you know, I'm an adult. I ain't even doing that. But, you know, this pastor who's the definition of Hotep talking about your husband get home from work and you ain't got his food cooked right. You can't even cook because you're not a good woman. Well, what? And that's just one of the things he was saying. And I'm holding my daughter in church. And he's talking about you want to have sex with all kind of men. And I actually, my dad was a pastor. And my deal is, as the person who, you know, did everything right, you know, technically, biblically right, did all this crap right. I actually tell my daughter, we're going to get you laid before you get married, baby, okay? Because the only deal is, we're going to get you laid before you get married. Because look, bro, you need to everything needs to connect. And the fact is, if you have sex and you enjoy sex, it doesn't make you a bad person or a whore. People are going to think you're a whore whether your legs or clothes are open. The fact is, you should do whatever's right for you. You should date men if you want to. You should date women if you want to. You should date transgender people if you want to. Whatever you want to do. Don't let nobody define a role for you. You're a black woman, so people are going to assume that you have the strength of the world. You will never have emotional problems, but you will never have any morals. You have no emotional problems and you have no morals. That's your two things, okay? You're a whore and you can handle anything, even a good old raping, okay? So my deal is that I don't want my daughter thinking anything. If you, whatever you want to wear, you go for it. And the fact is, you're going to make sure you, okay, yeah. Now, my middle kid, his problem is that, I don't know, white people like him. That's his problem. And when I say it's his problem, is because they like to, coddle him because he's a girl and he's gifted. So one day he came home, and this is how I end up failing parenting that day. This little kid waited till we were crossing the street, and he said, "Oh Lord, y'all, I still got to take deep breaths before I say this." He said, "Could you stop calling me black?"
Whoa!
No! Wait for it. Let me finish up. Save up for y'all. Save up. Wait for it. So he said, "I'm not black." And I froze because I failed basic parenting. If that child just told me that I failed basic parenting, what the fuck have I been doing? And then he says, "You're not black. Nobody's really black. We're not like the crayon black. I'm 10. My teacher says there's nobody's black that we're 10. And his teacher's white. And his teacher's the kind of white, or forgive me, his teacher was the kind of white to where she looked, she was in her late 30s. She was wearing red pigtails. Literally pigtails.
Come on, man.
And I'm a feminist, but, and so it pains me to say she looked like she could use a good scrubbing. But yeah, she was that kind of teacher, okay? I'm not trying to throw anybody a hygiene to the window, but whatever. And she was white, and she basically told my kid, she flat out told my kid, there's no such thing as black and white, everyone's tan. And here's the deal, and here's why I think that teacher is trying to kill me, because my child told me that when we were crossing the street, okay? So I paused, okay? And we had to back out of the street, okay? And I usually I'm like, "Well, baby, listen to this. Baby, this is whatever." And it wasn't that. And I didn't say that. And I'm really good at parenting. But the fact is that you said this, that dramatic. I need to override in a dramatic fashion. And I would love to say that I went scientific with it or I planned it. But I didn't. I just started cursing. Like bad. And I mean, and he was, what, 6 years old? And I told him straight up, "The fuck you just told me?"
Gangster. Yeah.
And then he said, "Well, fucking repeat what you just told me." So I'm like, "Listen to me. Your teacher's trying to," I'm like, "Listen to me. Don't believe what your teacher said. Listen to me. You grow up believing that your ass gonna get shot. Do you understand?" And then I explained to him, I said, "You're black. And listen to all the other things when people say you're black. Here's what black means. Black means you are a nigga. Do you understand? You a nigga, you a negro, you colored, you are a nigga. Nigga, negro, nigger. Do you understand that we're going to go through the list of the things you are? You're everything, but you are not white and you are not fucking tan. Do you understand me?" If you ever come in my house talking tan again, I swear to God, child, listen to me. It's going to get really real up in you. And the entire discussion was in Ebonics, okay? So I knew it wasn't that good. So, and then I kind of followed up by calling my ghetto friend and put her on speakerphone and told her what he said. And then I had him listen to her curse. So he could understand just how wrong his teacher was. "What the fuck she said?" Listen to her. "I don't know. You gotta beat that bitch." And I'm like, "Listen, no, you can't call women bees. But listen to the message of what she's saying. Everyone knows this is wrong. Your teacher's the only one who doesn't understand that what she said makes her a dumbass, okay? Now, she's not a B because we're a feminist. She's a dumbass, okay?" And then I made her explain to him in detail why he was a nigga. "Do you understand? You are a nigga, okay? Don't ever let nobody tell you we are all the same. We are not. We should be. But that shit's some Disney shit. Yes. You understand? We talked about the things that happened in Disney. That's not real life. We're going to talk about this more when you're later, when you're older. But do you understand? You are black, okay?" And that's pretty much the three different discussions I had, okay, with my kids. All three are different. And in all three, I feel like I'm not doing enough. My daughter, I feel like I could never convey to her that you're a whore. I'm like, the world sees you as a strong whore, okay? And to my autistic kid, people are not going to believe. People don't respect the fact that you're different. You're not allowed to be autistic, okay? You're just a nigga. And to my other kid, is no matter how smart you are, nigga, use a nigga, okay? Yeah. Don't forget that. But yeah, that's the three different ways I felt like, I don't know, that I got to tackle this stuff. And I don't feel like I'm doing very well, you know? I think most parents don't feel like they're doing very well. Like, you feel like you do what you got to, and you pretty much just hope, you know, they live, okay? Not that they go to college. Like, nigga, let's see you put in your application, you don't get shot, okay? Let's see you get on campus so you get around a lot of white people, and they won't shoot you if you're around a lot of white people because they don't want to hit one of them, okay? Let's get you around some white people for bulletproofy. Yeah.
Yep. That was some real shit right there. And well, not because, like, I can't put that rule on my child. I can't. Like, the thing is, we're keeping it real in the sense of, like, bringing forth information.
Yeah.
Like, I can't. See, I'm very aggressive, like, and passionate about something. So I can't just be up here talking about, like, at least not until, like, maybe she's maybe 10. And she, you know, she can deal with me talking aggressively, but not at her, at the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not ready for that West Bank. They're not ready for the West Bank to come out you. That's what it does. Yeah.
Because it's like, but it's a lot though. It's like, they don't feel the same struggle. You know, to them, it's like a foreign world. It's like, we weren't born in it, but at least, like, a parent or grandparent actually lived through it to be like, nah, nigga, you better get your shit together because they'll fuck over you. Like, we saw it, but now it's like, it's not what we've seen. It's like something that they think is like some distant thing. So it's like, oh, it can't happen to us because, you know, we passed that. And I don't know if the media does a great job of just whitewashing.
Erasure is the word that you're looking for.
It's like the go getter isn't there the way I think it needs to be and should be. And I don't know if we can get that back because there's such a sense of relaxation and a sense of we made it. Even though people clearly know we didn't, some people are fine with where we are to that. So for them, we've made it. Like, they're fine. Like, they don't need to do any better. Like, we don't need to do everything like them. I mean, shit, we alive for now.
Okay. Well, I mean, that kind of wraps up the week. I have some other news, and you know how we always, we like to talk stories about rape and, you know, sexual assault because they're not talked about enough in my eyes. So, in hospitality room fashion, I found something that we had a whole episode on about, and this is a fresh article, everyone. It's a fresh article. New court documents suggest others at Penn State knew of Jerry Sandusky abuse. You want to know who those others are, Q? Since you remember doing this episode, Joe Paterno. A man testified in court in 2014 that Penn State head football coach Joe Paterno ignored complaints of a sexual assault committed by Jerry Sandusky in 1976.
Well, he dead now?
Yeah, it's mighty convenient that the shit came out now, right?
It's all gonna come out now. He didn't come home, man. That's convenient as hell.
I told y'all Negroes that's why that man died. He couldn't take the pressure. Like, it was too much on his conscience. His conscience killed him.
It was like old boy in Life when Eddie Murphy got off and he died on the toilet.
Yeah, or like Brooks from the Shawshank Redemption. You know, he couldn't take reality and he just like, look, man, I gotta go. But Joe Paterno didn't hang himself. Yeah, I had to bring it up. It is a change of pace because we were on the Don Trout. We started on the Don Trout with OJ, like, and OJ kind of correlated to everything that we talked about today. Like, it did.
Yeah. Did you watch the documentary?
Yes, because that's what we amazing? Yes, we talked about it earlier, and I'm gonna say it again. I stopped at. I got through halfway through episode 5 and then I cut it off because I had enough. I told Q, and I know I might be wrong for this opinion, but I just didn't like the way that the black community was so forgiving of OJ. That's what I didn't like.
We won.
And I know it was just to spite the system, though. That it
about you.
My thing is, they is like, oh, OJ went from not even speaking up during the civil rights era, when and at a time when he had his largest platform, he chose not to speak. He was like, oh, I'm about my money, this and that. And then 30 years later, you got niggas draping kente cloth on him and shit. That's not cool. I do not appreciate that. Like, that's it's a good thing, and sometimes it's a flaw depending on the situation, but we're way too forgiving of people, man. Like, sometimes we just gotta cut people off. That's how I feel.
Oh, okay. So can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So, I watched the entire documentary, and I watched it, like, what, 3 different times. Okay. So, I'm one of those people, first of all, I can't believe I'm about to say it. I'm going to admit to this, and it's very wrong. And I'm going to preface this by saying, I know I'm saying it was wrong, and the thought I had was wrong, and saying it out loud repeatedly was wrong of me, and I don't really feel that way, but it was the words I felt, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, that was my disclaimer. But when I did watch it, minus the human life, obviously it should have been prevented. But if nothing else could happen after, the double murder, starting from then, I was like, proud of that nigga. Okay, right here. Y'all heard my disclaimer. Do I have to do the disclaimer again?
No, you're good. You're good.
I don't really feel that way. But I said that repeatedly. Proud of that nigga. All right. So, and then I ain't gonna lie. I deleted several Facebook post to where my whole stuff was going to be 20 years after OJ verdict, ... no regrets. Okay? And that was going to be the entire thing. Okay? And here's the deal. Alright. Now, let me do this. First of all, OJ is worth, your mama back in the old days before anybody was born, they had a half a penny. Alright. That's pretty much OJ and his entire wardrobe of everything he ever wore. Half a penny. That's how much is all worth. Just because he touched it, half a penny. Everything that nigga ever touched was half a penny. Okay? Minus his kids, because people are blah. Whatever. So here's the deal. Here's why I was cool with how everything worked out. Number one, that dude didn't want to be black. Specifically said, I'm not black, I'm OJ. Nigga, what?
Yes.
You better multitask. Yes. You better multitask. Okay? Like, what is wrong with you? Multitask. I am Jalene, and I am a nigga. Multitasking. You see, I am two things at once. Multitasking. All right. So, number one, that nigga had a problem multitasking. He didn't want the black community. Cool. All right. You garbage. Okay. So, when white people were like, oh, yeah, he's beating this chick. And everybody's like, oh, he's OJ, though. He's a good old boy. You get country club status. You're an old white man, and you're like a young nigga. Dude, kudos, you played the game. You gotta have no soul to be that way, okay? Because, yeah.
Yeah.
So, when the whole deal was when he finally did what he did, and it was like, a jury of black people, now y'all take out the garbage. Oh, no. No, y'all wrapped your arms around him. He your problem. And when we walked him right back onto their white golf course and left him there, glory to God. Okay, yes, y'all deal with him. He is not our problem. We are not going to burn him at the stake. Ain't nobody trying to save him. Like, yeah, if he get hit by a car, once again, yeah. No regrets. No. Okay, that nigga got killed by a pack of kittens. No regrets. Okay, ain't no, it wasn't even about him. I mean, the most gross thing could happen to that dude, don't care. The fact is, they wrapped the arms around him, and then they expected us to do their dirty work. We were a community in pain. Okay, we were a community in pain. No, sir. When we walked them right back to the golf course, that piece of trash, like, yeah, you left your diaper. You left your soiled diaper in my house. I want to bring it back to you in case you were missing it. Y'all deal with them. And you know what? It was the best thing for OJ. Because one, you're a piece of trash. What you gonna do? You didn't want to be black. And now white people don't want you. So what are you stuck with? You're stuck with dealing with yourself. That now you are not, you know what he was? They gave him the same stats we gave to Bill Clinton. Honorary black. He was honorary white. When they revoked his status, he was Adam Nicole. Now, what are you doing? He making videos? You trying to rap? Mm-hmm. I mean, dog. I thought he was alive, but in every way he committed suicide, okay? So the fact is, you turn your back on the black community? Yeah, and it wasn't even about him. Ain't nobody trying to say OJ deserved this. OJ don't deserve nothing. I mean, OJ don't deserve, like, a couple hot spit. I mean, that nigga garbage, okay? Yeah. The fact is that ain't nobody trying to convict a person who looks black. He wasn't black. Remember, he OJ. A person who physically looks black, but he not black. He OJ. You know, y'all wanted him. Y'all gave him a pass for all the time he was whipping on that girl face. Nah, bruh. You deal with him. He y'all boy. That's like somebody taking a dog, raising him home, teaching him to purr like a cat, and when the damn thing bites somebody, you want to say, oh, no, y'all gave me a dog. You were supposed to be a cat. No, son. You deal with it. You trained him. You told him it was going to be okay if he just pretended to be white. You told him the world was his if he just he didn't get mixed up with these rabble rousers. You told him that. That nigga felt so fresh, he thought he could kill two people with flair. Two white people?
Yes.
And he could have waited until she was with a black lover, and then white people would have stood by him like he was trying to save her from herself. He was trying to give her redemption. She was messing with those darkies. He was trying to save her. They would have stuck, maybe would have stuck by him with that. But the fact is, you killed two white people, not one. You killed one and an extra one. Like, you could have waited until a nigga went home. But, like, you did it big. Like, that nigga had big dreams, and he reached his goal. That nigga reached for the mountaintop. He climbed the mountaintop. He murdered the people at the mountaintop, and he climbed back down. What y'all want us to do? Niggas don't climb mountains. Y'all let him do that. Y'all's problem. Walked them right back onto their golf course. And the fact is, they were real mad about it. I'm okay. Like I said, proud of that nigga. I'm proud that you was a piece of trash. I'm proud with the fact that, you know, you were so you look like us, but you never ever claimed us. And the fact is that I'm pretty glad that you were so lost with whatever you were doing that you ended up the place you deserve to be. Okay? Yeah. And you know what? Johnny Cochran, those lawyers, yeah, proud of them niggas. But not in the OJ kind of way. I'm just proud of OJ because he was funny. You know, I mean, not the killing people part, because yeah, that's tragic, blah, 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 whatever. But the fact is, you're a piece of trash. And the fact is that you called us monsters, and we gave you the boogeyman that you thought was a cuddly teddy bear. Like, what do you want us to do? He's your boogeyman. Mm-hmm. Okay? Like, he's a Chucky doll. You can't call him a doll. That nigga's scary. He's dangerous when the lights are out. Look what he did. He's still y'all's. Done. Okay. Proud of that nigga. Disclaimer, I don't really mean that.
I understand so much. Like, that was my initial argument. It was like, OJ, because I told you earlier, it's like OJ to me, when they showed his football career, he didn't have like this spectacular career in this and that. He just had the support of white people. And that carried over into his retirement until he turned into an actor. He still had the support of white people. And throughout this whole time, he was just getting money hand over fist, getting the arrogance up. Outside of Al Collins and that other guy, I don't even think OJ could name five black people that he knew. And that was family included.
And that was a point of pride for him. That's how he knew he was successful. I don't know that nigga. That's how he knew he was successful.
Just like when I, after I seen, that was like episode two, I called Q up doing this break, and I was like, man, you heard what OJ said about the niggas in Brentwood? Yeah. Like since when they let niggas in Brentwood?
Yeah, with all these niggas doing in Brentwood. Yeah. I remember that.
Yes.
And I was like, that's my boy. That's y'all boy.
And
you'll be home for supper.
My thing is, like, okay, so since he was supported by white people for, you say, 30 years, he had 30 years worth of money to buy the best defense money can buy. Mm. Something that is only a privilege to our tan and peach-colored looking peoples with money. Because there's not a lot of brothers that can buy their innocence. OJ did it and Ray Lewis did it. I can't
even. And Michael Jackson.
Oh, Michael Jackson did it too. Yeah.
He was an amazing dancer. Did you see how he moonwalked around them charges?
Yeah.
I mean, that nigga, they had glitter on them children. Glitter from his gloves after he done. And they still let him go. Them children covered in glitter. Okay? Right. And he's like, he didn't do nothing. Yeah, man.
And yeah, like the only modern day person I can think about is that is Chris Brown. Like, he just danced his way out of all the shit he was in, but he's so stupid he brought himself right back into it. But back to OJ. OJ had enough money to buy the best defense in the world, and when the case was all said and done, I noticed that the case wasn't even about two white people getting their heads chopped off. It was about the incompetence of the LAPD. Why? Because they let the Korean woman walk when she shot Latasha Hollins, and I remember her name now, Latasha Hollins. She shot that woman in the face when they beat up Rodney King, when they just let the city burn. The 30 to 40 to 50 to 60 to 80 years of the just systematic oppression of black people, and it was black people's turn to get them in. They took that knife and stabbed them in the back real good. And it was all their fault. It was all their fault. It was white people's fault, is what I'm saying. It was all their fault. They gave him enough money to buy the best defense in the world. And the defense did that. They didn't even make it about a murder no more. Because if it was about a murder, his black ass would have been in jail. And if he didn't have OJ money at that time, his black ass would have been in jail. Like, that's just... I'm not making this up. This is real.
I got a question on the Chris Brown thing.
Yes.
All right. So here's what I thought. Here's what I've been. It's actual personal thing. I've been worried. I've been examining myself over, like, the Chris Brown thing. I guess is this feeling. I guess feeling distant from Rihanna and not feeling much sympathy for Rihanna for two reasons. One, because, you know, that celebrity thing, celebrities can't be victims because they're celebrities. That's the human error kind of deal. So I recognize it about myself. But also, I also did feel bad feeling that Chris Brown was harmless. Even after he did that, thinking that nigga is like a teen beatbox. Like, how hard can he really hit? I mean, he looked like a mouse. Like, really? I mean, he's singing in the kind of, I mean, look at his songs. His songs ain't scary. How he gonna hit? This kind of deal to where not really taking it seriously deal. And So I've been wondering about that being swayed by the image and being swayed by the media, and not usually, not at all. I mean, I don't, like, you know how Jennifer Lopez is like, all lives matter. I mean, I heard that from that bra, and I'm kind of like, yeah, okay. And, you know, thinking, oh, well, this bra clearly ain't woke. And, you know, what's the chick, Avatar, the one that just did Nina Simone? You know, the one that...
Zoe Saldana.
Oh, no, thank you. I was trying not to say her name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Just thinking, like, really feeling this kind of way about it, but also at the same way where, even though I'm a feminist, still having that deal to kind of want to see that women are so strong, they can take criticism, they can take all this, like, these beatings, and, you know, we don't really have to do that much harm. So even though I still find myself, like, thinking in those old strands of thought that I know it's clearly not correct, but still I remember when that thing about Rihanna, thinking, like, don't that nigga make love songs? I mean, I can understand how that would make you angry. You can't ever rap. because you came out with the love song, dude. You're that love song, dude, and you're not really that good at it. Okay, whatever. So I was thinking, I'd be mad too if I had to make them songs, you know, if I had to keep pretending I had a heart. Like, if I had feelings and I've always had to catch feelings on the phone, I'd be mad too. You know, like, joking about it, but still making it, like, it's understandable and still thinking that, but she gonna be all right because she's a black woman, that kind of deal. So even though I remember thinking that years back when that happened, and then I remember talking to my friends and them thinking the same thing, you know, even though we're women and, you know, we know people with problems of domestic abuse, still looking at the women, she expected them to be okay about it. Like, emotionally, physically, financially, just everything going to be okay because we're built for it. So as much as I rail against the system, it's kind of having that old built-in school of thought, you know, yeah, where she's going to be all right. Oh, yeah, she could take that, and that nigga can't hit hard because he make love songs, kind of deal.
Yeah, but that I don't condone the domestic abuse, violence, whatever you want to call it, like, because I've been big all my life, and I know, like, if I put my hands on certain dudes, there's no comeback for them. So, like, you know, somebody that's just naturally smaller than me, like, I'm trying my hardest not to do it. And when I see people that, like, oh, you done crossed the line, so now I gotta slap the taste out your mouth. Like I said earlier, you coming at me with the outside voice, now I gotta backhand you. Like, that, nah, that shit don't fly with me. And I found it astonishing that all you had to do was go on the BET Awards and do a couple of dances and spin moves, and it was like, oh, you got the automatic nigga forgiveness. And it really rolled like that. And the only reason he back in on the bad side is because he kept fucking up. Like, he couldn't. He pulled an OG. He used his get out of jail free card, and then he went right back to jail. He rolled right back. He rolled the double five, and went right back to jail. Son of a gun.
In regards to Chris Brown, I don't really care for any dude that hitting women. I don't care if he like little piece of shit looking dude, or if he's big, muscular, successful, scrawny, broke, whatever. I don't care. Like, there ain't no place for that. Like I was saying to Von earlier, we all came out of a woman. I mean, there should be a level of respect that's just inherent. Certain things that he discussed and talked about, it should just be the fact that you have to. Like, it is, like, nothing's really equal in that realm. So whenever dudes get the benefit of the doubt just because of bullshit like that, it just makes that much more difficult. And, I mean, it's a societal thing. So, yeah. I don't know. It's so deep. Like, it's the same thing. Like, when you hear, like, oh, he's bitches and hoes, yada, yada. Like, yeah, but he ain't talking to me. Like, that type of thing. So it's like, we just, as a collective, we missing it somewhere. And as a society, until we all tighten up, like, shit like this is going to be cool. And like you said, yeah, he a little scrawny-looking dude, so, yeah, him hitting somebody ain't that bad. But my thing is, even if you a little piece of shit-looking dude, you should be able to do that. Like, you should be above that thought process or, you know, anything like that. Like, I don't know.
And also with Chris Brown, his music was on a consistent decline from the self-titled album. Like his music just got shittier and shittier and shittier and shittier. So it kind of made it easier for me to not listen to him anymore. Because, I mean, his first CD, I don't know, maybe because it was just the time I was alive. It was the college days and stuff. His first CD was banging, but after that, it was like, nah. That's how it was. It was just... Yeah, it wasn't like Kells, where I had to make a conscious decision to stop listening to the dude. Like, it wasn't like that. It was like, oh man, but you know his music banging though, man. You know it's all Kelly, man. And I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I listened to his music. We're gonna say probably 4 to 5 years after all those accusations came out.
And that nigga could sing.
Real talk, it was the Boondocks that made me have a change of heart, man. Like, it really was.
Oh, and my brother be strong. You see the prophecy,
don't he? It's crazy. It's crazy, like, so the stuff that'll enlighten you sometimes. And it that shit enlightened me because it was like, man, we acting like some real...
Wait with Tyler Perry. Oh man, yeah. When Tyler Perry, because he had just sponsored those anti-gay laws, Tyler Perry, and my deal is my kid, one of my kids, it's effeminate, okay, and he likes to polish his toenails, he likes to wear my high heels, and I tell him, boy, don't get them dirty, and that's pretty much the extent of it, and don't use my good polish, you know, whatever, rock with whoever you want to be with, because my deal is I don't want you to be Tyler Perry. You have, if you, whatever, you hate gays so much that it's suspect, dude. Okay, and the fact, and, as black men, we got the whole Hotep thing that is all about black men. Men. I mean, if you're gay, you're not a man. Kind of deal to where you're all for heterosexual black male rights. And, you know, and feminine black women who are Aisha Curry's, ew, come on. That kind of deal. So yeah, it was that, and just thinking about what do I want in my head. I don't want Tyler Perry part of my repertoire of kid when I talk to my kids. You know, like I can't in good conscience tell them it's okay if you're gay as long as you're nice, as long as you're a good person, and if you know mess around. Or, I mean, you have somebody who's nice. That's the general gist of it, which is why I stopped with Tyler Perry. But when you were talking about musicians, you stop effing with. I went the whole different race, and I swear, what I was thinking about, freaking John Mayer.
Oh, yeah. Now,
because see, you went hard for me. Y'all, I jammed, and I'm loving that gravity. You know, like, you know, just really feeling it. And didn't watch the video because he makes some ugly faces when he's singing, so I'm kind of like, nah, man, I'm not even watching that. But, man, that CD bumping, man. Me and my husband, damn near, we were holding that CD and blah, blah, blah. And then he just said that when he writes love songs, he ain't thinking about nobody who look like me. Really, dude? Because I think I'm fresh. You telling me black women don't do it for you? That only better be because black men do it for you. But you're saying no black people at all? Nah, man. And that's how I believe. That's how I ended up deleting every John Mayer thing ever. Okay? And I'm telling you, some parts of me still want to go back and jam that gravity or something like that. And then I think, this nigga done wrote how many albums, and he never thought about a black girl. Not even once. Not even like it'd be nice to slap something that jiggles. You know, you never, and that's the only thing you think. I mean, at least you thought about us. But you're thinking about pasty girls. I mean, there's nothing wrong with pasty women. But, bruh, exclusively pasty women?
Yeah.
Like, bruh, you're not messing with us, we're not messing with you. Peace kind of deal. So, man, I lost a lot of people. Like, I gotta do a rest in peace kind of deal. Like, rest in peace Tyler Perry, rest in peace R. Kelly, rest in peace John Mayer, you know, rest in peace Chris Brown. I wasn't even bumping Chris Brown like that. You just, stop with the emotions. Too much emotions in your music. Like, you're small with emotions. You're like a chihuahua. Ew. Okay? Like, so, yeah, there's a lot of people, you know, rest in peace once you get, like, socially conscious and woke. You lose a lot of stuff, y'all. You ever realize that?
Yeah.
You lose a lot of stuff when you start getting socially conscious. Okay?
Rest in peace, Tyrese. Q, you brought him up earlier.
Oh, soft-spoken women?
Oh, man.
Why are you explaining that name?
Yeah.
I already brought him up. I thought we was over with Tyrese.
You brought him up. I don't even talk about Tyrese. Tyrese is in the list. He in the list with Steve Harvey. Like, they got their own separate list.
Yeah,
but I'm definitely down to make a list of those people, because I got a good one, too. I got a good few people. I'm saying few.
Hey, come on. Who's on your RIP list?
Okay, I said Tyrese.
And he was so pretty and dark, too. You thought he looked good. Too bad he talks stupid. But go ahead.
RIP Joe. I don't get down with Joe anymore.
I missed that. Tell me, what's going with Joe? Why are we RIPing Joe?
And it's not nothing based on misogyny or nothing like that. This is complete jokes right here. Joe
his
made
hands blew the wind that no, one time?
Joe was a dirty Mac.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. he was always trying to take your woman. Or take. Yeah, he was always trying to take the dude's woman. Every video, it was like dudes treat this girl bad, and here come Joe creeping right around the side, like, you know, dirty mate. I'll do the things your man won't do. He was Keith Sweat, but just a little better singer than Keith Sweat. Keith Sweat don't make the list because we play it right in the wrong way when black people get married. So I'm not going to put him on that list. Yeah, but Joe is on the list for being a dirty Mac, and so is Carl Thomas.
Carl Thomas. The whiner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that's always crying in a trench coat, look like something from City of Angels. You remember City of Angels, that dumb movie with the dumb looking angels all in black? Looking like, so I bet you they all became angels because they killed themselves because they all look super depressed.
Oh.
Yeah. Carl Thomas. Oh, man. Yeah, he just, the crying, man. I mean, I don't even know if he ever cried, but,
he was hard.
Summer Rain, Carl Thomas.
I was going to say with a blue cover.
No, he did that song with LL.
I know that was one CD that my people just all got.
I'm emotional, him. Like, Carl Thomas make the list. Robin Thicke. R.I.P. Robin Thicke.
Ew. Isn't he the exact? You know what? I have to find out what's different between him and Justin Timberlake. Because, you know, I mean, wait, he didn't do cornrows. Did Robin Thicke do cornrows in the do-rag? Because Justin Timberlake did that.
Robin Thicke was too smooth for all that. He was too smooth to do the shucking and jiving. Yeah, Justin Timberlake too. Justin Timberlake, definitely. Yes. I used to jam some Justin Timberlake with his soft voice.
He was trying to get everybody woke after
Man, Williams. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
Justin Timberlake single-handedly destroyed Janet Jackson.
I will not let that go. Yeah, and when he said the stuff after Jesse Williams, you know what that was like? That was like Martin Luther King giving a speech. And then, like, I don't know, Stacey Dash pop it up and say, and another thing, and in case you didn't understand what he meant, like, is that time for you to sit in the corner and be quiet, pretend you're invisible? You don't need to be seen. You can't be seen right now. And if you're being seen after this speech, it's not going to be good for you. And yes, he did single-handedly destroy Janet Jackson. Like, man, a black woman show you her tits and your thing is to cry and blame her for it? You need to tell America they owe her more money, okay? Because a black woman being naked even accidentally? Bro, come on. You know, how you running from that? You ain't a man. Come on, man. You running from the publicity? You should have been like, and I was that close, guys. Can you believe me? Like, that's my deal. She was a black woman. She was on stage with you. You got to be on stage with Janet Jackson, who I ain't gonna lie. She's so creepy looking. She looks so much like her brother. Like, I can't. But I talk about her like she's a black woman. So that's how I'm like, a black woman got naked and like you blamed her for it. You helped America blame her. Right? Yep. Shut up. Like, you can't even.
Yep. Justin Timberlake is gone, man. Till the end of time. Whatever. Cry me a river, Justin. I'm not down anymore. Okay. What else? I'm not down with Jodeci anymore. And that's only because those niggas is still trying to sing right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And like the crack took over. The crack took over. I'll put it up on my Facebook. I'll show y'all, man. Like, that's terrible. It's terrible. And it's like, yeah, now I don't respect the music y'all made back in the day now. Even though it's some good jams. Hold on.
Wait, we forgot one. If we talking about that era and people who were garbage, which one was the new one that was beating up Mary J?
What was that?
JoJo. One of them in the white gloves was working on Mary J.
That which was KC.
One? Was it KC or JoJo?
It was KC, I believe. Yeah, QB, I know you don't get down with all that like that, but yeah. I want to say it was KC. Because KC the one that looked like he on that dope hard right now. Like, man. K- JC looked like he'd be outside the store asking for change. No, in serious, they still doing concerts and stuff, and they don't sound nothing like, oh, I'm sorry. Lauryn Hill. I'm sorry.
We should have started that conversation with Lauryn Hill. Y'all, we did bad. Somebody should have said Lauryn Hill.
I thought about X Factor, and I was like, man, God damn it.
You know, somebody put about it on her, and people were like, oh, she should have late for a concert. People do it all the time. And when people were trying to, like, defend her or don't defend her, but somebody wrote, I think it was Very Smart Brothers, I'm not sure who it was, but they said something really amazing. They said that she would be the one on your Facebook page posting the hotel meme. You know, we used to be queens, now we hoes.
Yep.
And she would be the friend that be judging.
Yep.
She would be the friend that talking about your shirt too short and how queen, K-W-E-N-S, you know, queen.
Yeah.
And K-A-N-G-S, Kane. Mm-hmm. And she put a person on your newsfeed talking about we need to stop eating pork and lymph in our skirts. Like, man, I could like bacon and like sleep around and I could still be cool.
Yeah.
Like, why are you trying to hate me? Because I like bacon and noodles.
I mean, I'm down for a good bacon sandwich at any time. We just put two slices of bacon on some bread and we're good. And right? since we brought up Lauryn Hill, I'm sorry, but we got to put Erykah Badu in there too.
Yes. Her and Aisha Curry. But Erykah Badu has she done more wrong than good?
No, and I was just about to say I don't think I'm gonna be able to stop. I won't be able to not listen to her music when I get in the mood for some Erykah Badu. I'm sorry.
Like, Aisha Curry's on the list for me. You know, pretending to be a nice girl while you're mean. Like, you're pretending to be nice while you're mean. Oh, I just like to stay at home and keep my legs closed.
No.
And whenever my husband, we're not having sex, I seal my vagina with glue. You know, like, it's got to be all that.
And I always prepare this fresh meal for him when he gets back. You know, shit like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're pretending to be nice while you're judging people and calling people whores. Like, if you're not praying with your legs closed, like, if you wear panties with lace, you deserve to be raped. That kind of, you know, that kind of deal where, you know, you're bad if, you know, you're not in church. Yeah, you're done for me. Erykah Badu, everybody says she got this mystical quality. So she might be like an alien or some kind of shit. I don't really want to put on no list until we find out her species. Like, you know, because it said she got baby daddies and they all friends together and they have family outing. And you got your entire family into love and you were vegan. That's, I don't know. That's not something we really do in our culture. So I don't know. I don't even know what to call her. What she said was wrong. You know, like, we can't trust men to control their base instincts. Okay, so can we have a rape date? Let me know, like, a national rape day so y'all could tell me when I need to be covered up. Come on. If you rape every, like, if men can't control the urge to rape and objectify, we should at least get warnings. You know, like, you should have, like, men should have the rape whistle. I'm feeling rapish. You know, men should have the rape whistle. If you're saying all that, if men can't control it, men should have the rape whistle to warn women to run.
Yes.
And for the rape whistle, I'll wear tennis shoes that day so I can get away. Sorry.
I wasn't going into, like, I could do celebrities, but I was still sticking to music. Maxwell. Sorry, Maxwell. Sorry, my brother.
Maxwell.
Yeah. Maxwell out here down with the All Lives Matter and shit, you know?
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. No. Yes, he did.
I've been watching that video of him, and I'm like, man, black men in their 40s, holla. I've been drooling at that man. He said All Lives Matter?
Yes. Hold on. I'm going to try to put it up on my screen.
All right.
Yeah. And the last dude still making traditional R&B. That's the name.
That is the deal. That dude been making music for grown people who feel sexy sometimes. And he, All Lives Matter. Like, man, nobody can get down like you in the mood and then you hear that nigga voice. All Lives Matter. No, man.
Maxwell.
He still wore a tuxedo. Me. Like, damn.
Oh, man.
You know my dreams.
I'm sorry. Oh, man. Shit. I still listen to now. I still listen to that, man. Lifetime change. Yeah, let me read this to you. Maxwell came under fire earlier today after a string of well-misguided tweets. The singer tried to lend his voice to the ongoing police violence against black people in the Dallas shootings. But instead, on repeatedly using the hashtag Human Lives Matter. Of course, people immediately corrected the singer, although they kept their chastisement pretty gentle, considering it was Twitter.
Right?
Sending this
Wait,
with love.
Okay, you know what? Okay, I'm going to write him off only, not because he said all lives matter, but because he said human lives matter. Who told you you could make a new hashtag? That's selfish of him. He's trying to get a brand new hashtag out. He's one or the other. Like, I'll be done with him for trying to get a new thing. Like, man, I can't do three things at once. Like, you can't make a third group. That's like people are vote for the third presidential election, you know, Hillary, Trump, or that other guy. I ain't wasting my vote. You wasted a hashtag, human. Nah, man, you can't. He tried to start a slow clap. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I have one ass to the table. And then by that point, I got to dip out of here because I almost
okay.
My one is Fetty Wap.
Okay.
His twist tweet was as follows. My kids are mixed. That. All lives matter.
Your kids are black. If your kids are mixed, your kids are black. I mean,
he's done in this time.
That's a nigga with one eye.
I know. I'm totally fucking his eye.
Yeah. Evidently, he's not seeing this shit clearly. Like, he's not. I'm sorry. Come on, Maxwell, man.
The blind guy,
man. Damn, Maxwell. Still listening to Black Summer's Night.
Yeah, Maxwell
hurt
me though.
Yeah,
I might have to look past the new
hashtag because that's arrogant. Like to me, isn't that arrogant? Y'all don't think so? Like,
no, man, you got to take over. Like, it's all, we already have a thing.
Exactly. Like, man, you're trying to make a new crayon color. All the colors that's going to exist already exist. Pick something out the box. Don't go to the lab.
Maxwell's string of tweets started with a picture of protesters holding up a sign that read, "You don't have to be black to be outraged." However, he captioned the picture with, "This will not end good if we don't do something. Hashtag American Lives Matter."
The hashtag
before. Damn. Ain't that, wait. American Lives.
Yeah.
Damn.
American Lives, man.
My
okay,
nigga.
First of all, you said human lives matter, so only Americans are human if American lives matter? I think it just fucked up six continents? He just dissed six continents. Like, I know y'all got some problems in Brazil, but look here.
Who cares about color?
Like I say about all people that like overstep their boundaries, he had the option to shut the fuck up.
Wait, did he really just said who cares about color?
Yeah, that's one with the picture of a globe. It's like this will not end good.
No, and he said who cares, nigga, cops. Who cares about color, cops? Like, nigga, a one word answer for a stupid question. What? It even has to be multiple choice. I will fill in the blank and everyone will answer the same. Cops. Who cares about color? Nigga, cops.
No, I know next one. Though. His album must be some doo-doo. I don't care about my album at this point. You know, my life. Your album.
Oh, no.
I do not.
Does he say he don't care about his album?
I do not hate. I just want peace. I just want a resolution. Hashtag all human lives matter.
Man, this motherfucker. every 2 minutes.
That dude is like the worst hashtagger ever. Like, you...
Oh, yes. Thank you, Maxwell. Maxwell just made my show a whole better tonight. Oh, yes. Thank you, Maxwell. He has a picture of Martin Luther King up. Let me get back to it. Let me get back to the quote.
Oh, I'm looking at it.
I'm not looking at it, so describe it. Describe it.
I'm about to read the quote. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Can I say something? Can I say why that is incorrect? Like, okay. First of all, I read that as darkness can't drive out darkness. Only light.
Wait, cuz, can I read the
black on black crime?
Can I read the quote?
Only light can drive out darkness. White people, like, white and black could drive out darkness. Like, that's what I'm thinking. I swear, I just read way too much into it. Like, I'm thinking you're saying white people could drive out black.
Let me give you the caption. The caption is, this is my position. This, let's make a change. Hashtag human lives matter. Hashtag peace. Hashtag drops mic. So that was his ether right there. Once he invoked Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Christ, like, that's, you know... That's like invoking Michael Jordan. You can't, like, thou shalt not.
Okay, honestly, I gotta talk. He was talking like he was Disney. He just released some shit from the vault that nobody ever heard before. Like, you know that movie that you can't really buy until they released it? He act like he had that quote on lock, and he just released it from the vault, and now everybody can read it and shut up.
I was on Kill Maxwell about 3 minutes ago.
Man, this show, how y'all, first time I ever caught a podcast and you kill Maxwell. Y'all some mean bastards.
I didn't mean to do it.
You listen, sometimes people ain't shit. They gotta get called out.
Like I said, we started talking about people that's on the list of like, I don't wanna listen to your music anymore. And Maxwell just happened to be in the news tweeting shit, and I kind of forgot about it. But then when I said Erykah Badu, and I was on my Neo Soul tip, and I was like, oh, yes, the nigga Maxwell. Because we must not forget that a few months ago, my black queen, Jill Scott, was out here defending Bill Cosby. But
I did not hear that. You're lying.
Cause I was so hurt.
Defended Bill Cosby?
Yes. She said that is no way that all that he did that many. Like, basically, that wasn't verbatim, but that was her all around statement.
She realized it wasn't in one night, huh? That nigga had him all lined up on the wall. He did have Gatorade in between those times. I mean, a good nights of rest make the raping easier. Like, what do you? I mean, of course he did them. Like, yeah, of course he did. I mean, at this point, he was a millionaire. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had like Velcro on his pants to make the raping quicker. Okay, like he had like rape Velcro on his pants. Of course he did them all. That Lord.
She tried to take it back. That's what made it worse.
You got to stand by your stupid, like, yeah. Stacey Dash. Mm-hmm. You know you're professionally stupid. Stand by that. Get your check from that, girl. Yep. Get your check.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're not even going to bring up Jill Scott because the Bill Cosby thing is a whole other issue that I had to delete so many people off of multiple accounts for.
Oh.
Man. I feel bad.
So awesome, though. Because I hated Bill Cosby, like, before the women fell asleep around him, okay? Like, I hated Bill Cosby before people thought that he was nap-proof, before people was like, cool, oh, it's Bill Cosby, I'm going to take a nap, just right here. I mean, I hated him before that, because, you know why? He always made me feel like I should be doing something, like, I ain't got a right to take a nap. Like, you should be succeeding, like, what the fuck, I'm black. I succeeded enough for the day, and he's always like, no, you didn't. Use a nigga out here, pull your pants up. Like, what the hell? Like, I always hated him because he always made me feel bad. Like, I mean, how much should I succeed? I guess because he was feeling that he had enough time to be successful and a rapist, like to be a comedian and a rapist, a millionaire and a rapist, like because he multitasked. We should multitask. Man, shut up.
And I think we're gonna end on that one, but I'm gonna add this in. This is exactly why Uncle Phil was the best black dad on TV. Period. Right there.
You can't say we're gonna end on that because that's a whole nother hour long conversation. I'm not gonna say you can't even.
Come on, he was better than James Evans. He was better than Carl Winslow.
Okay, first of all, Carl Winslow was out of the running because he was a cop.
I kind of believe he was a crooked cop, too.
He didn't even know about Black Lives Matter, but I felt he should have had the foresight to see he was coming and he shouldn't have been a cop. So, yeah, he out of the running.
In Chicago at that, too. They were in Chicago, too. Yeah.
Forgot about that. Mm-hmm. For reals.
Uh-huh. And plus, Carl Winslow, to me, was a crooked cop because how in the hell he supported 9 people on a cop's salary? And Harriet don't work. He got his mama staying there. He got like 4 kids. He got his sister-in-law there with her child.
And also Steve doing everything in his fucking house.
Yep. And then Waldo was always there eating his food.
I'm cooking the meth and Waldo ruined that dude's transaction.
Oh my god, you ruined my night. I might have to wake up my husband for that.
Nah, I'm serious though. If you think about it, Uncle Phil was the best dad. Uncle Phil did everything that a dad was supposed to do, and he took care of his sister-in-law's child, and he didn't have to do that.
Aggravating child.
And he dealt with racism, and he dealt with it on the show.
Okay.
Cliff Huxtable ain't never dealt with no racism that I could remember. It would always be some respectability politics.
My entire argument is everything you're saying sounds right. He did a lot of right things, but at the same time, he failed in several key aspects, and I'm going to list them for you. Because, you know, you can't just ruin my life. Let me kill you. Let me kill y'all and stuff. Number one, he raised a grown black man who thought it was okay to wear a sweater tied around his neck. I'm going to call him up. That dude went outside and worked in pastels proudly. So how good of a dad could he have been? Okay, that nigga clearly missed some key discussions with his black son. All right? And number two, he was rich enough to have a butler. And at the same time, you couldn't have had a white person just so you could feel better, so we could have felt better?
Oh.
Damn. So he fell on that. Kill my dreams. I'm throwing that back at you. He raised the son who thought it was okay to wear a sweater tied around his shirt indoors. The temperature of a white person's house indoors is perfect. So you only wearing that as a fashion accessory. That's a fucking decision. That is not a necessity.
Man.
Do you understand? He missed some key discussions with that child. He should have cursed at his kid like I did. Number two, once again, you know it would have made Black America feel good if you had a white butler. All I had to do, or even a light skin, because you know what? Even if he was light skin, so you can know that light skin people ain't really popping like that. Like you ain't better than dark skin. Just have a light skin butler. It is, because you know you couldn't have a white butler. But yeah, light skin.
I'll concede that. That's And okay, I can go in on field too.
I got my last point. Very last point. I swear. All
right.
Against all the odds, he raised the black bimbo. She fits no stereotype. Like, what do you do with that? You're not strong, okay? You're not sassy. You're not even a whore. You fit no stereotypes. Like, you don't even belong in black society. Like, what? No, I'm sorry. Those three things is why I'm calling you. Go ahead, you up?
Okay. Damn. This is the dark humor right here. Oh man, damn. Okay. Uncle Phil supported Vivian even though she was using the bleaching cream. Cause I mean, we never really got an explanation of how Aunt Viv got like 4 shades lighter over, you know, like over 6 months.
Oh, I have an explanation. She pissed off the young OJ. You like that? You like that? She pissed off the young OJ in real life. You like that? Take it. Take it. Just because you married Jacob don't make you gangster. I don't care. I don't care how many superheroes you want to play. Like, man, you neutered. You neutered. Okay? And exactly, how many black people OJ got fired? Yeah.
Oh, man.
And also, he supported her bleaching decision. That counts against him. You just put another thing on his
list. No, that's why I said it. It's like a double-edged sword, because he was like, he was down with it. He was down with the self-hate, but he didn't want to stand up to it. I know it. Damn. But he was better than James Evans, though. Sorry. I'm not really a big Good Times fan, so yeah, that's like, no.
Good Times make you want to like Good Times is like that show that you eat, that you like, you watch while your family is sharing a slice of bread. Okay, y'all all got one slice of bread, not a loaf, a slice. And then, you know, if they made it, you could share that bread too. Like, who get the good, like, who get the edges? All right, who need the most nutrients? Like, Good Times is the best. Like, yes. At some point, stop telling jokes. Y'all doing bad. That's my deal. At some point, stop it with the jokes. Y'all got a fucking problem. Y'all, you're doing bad. No more laughing. No more dynamite. Your new word need to be dismal. This shit is dismal. Enough with the jokes. Y'all doing bad.
Should have just popped in. Unemployed! I'm broke, nigga! You know, like, shit like that. Goddamn Florida Evans killed that man and bring that money back to the police, man. I'll never forget that, man. Like, that, I was old enough to recognize what happened at that point, because I know I watched that episode like 6 or 7 times throughout my life, but once I got old, I watched it and I was like, nope. Y'all should have kept that money as bad as y'all was doing.
Yeah.
The whole song, the whole beginning, the theme song just talking about how bad y'all are living.
Exactly. Like, in case you thought you were coming for laughs, you coming here for roaches. You coming here for, like, how many, you know, like, jokes you could make with the roaches. And here's the deal. I believe she had a right, and it was good for her to save her soul by giving the money back. That was right. But here's the deal. Shouldn't, like, you keep the money so your kids can, like, have a soul? Yeah. And can make moral decisions? Like, fuck it. Like, I'm in my 40s and I'm doing bad. Like, I'm already done for. So I might as well keep the money and, like, pay for my children's good souls, okay? Like, my children ain't got to do that. I'm going to do that for my family. Like, I mean, now you just being selfish. You're trying to make yourself feel good. You know what else feels good? Hot food. Hot food in your house. That shit feel good. You know what it's like eating 3 times a day? Them children didn't, okay? So, yeah, I agree with you. Yep. That's what feels good. That's a feel-good moment. Food and electricity.
Yep.
And that shit fire.
I was on a tip about, you know, speaking of Good Times. Good Times, like, the name of the show is just misleading off the rip. Like,
exactly.
Good Times. But it was to I got to a point a few years back where I was, like, I was getting tired. Like, I was getting tired of seeing the slave movies. And, like, after a while, my opinion changed about that. But I'm really not down for looking at TV shows that's showing black people doing bad and they just accepting it. Like, you don't, every time is always they trying to do something to make a come up and it always fail. Like, but that's reality. It's reality. But, I mean, I'm just not down for watching that for 30 minutes and, like, I can't cut jokes off of it. I make jokes, but it's like jokes of why people so poor and shit like that. It's not, I'm not like, not like you explained earlier about Carlton listening to, yeah, like the funnier joke is laughing at Carlton listening to Wayne Newton and shit like that. And yeah, that's the funnier joke. It's not, the joke is not as funny when you're talking about, oh man, they splitting a can of poking beans tonight. Good Times. That's that. Yeah, you came. And that's what it is. But yeah, I'm gonna let, it's time to let everybody go.
It is. Oh my gosh. But don't say that in the start of topic, because don't get me started.
This is definitely two episodes worth of material right here. So, yeah. Everybody, this was the Hospitality Room Podcast, brought to you by the Country Nerds Network. Have a great evening.
Some belly full, but we hungry. A hungry mob is a hungry mob. A rain a fall, but the judge is tough. A yacht a yuck, but you'd not enough. You're gonna dance to jam music. Dance. We're gonna dance to jam music. Dance. Oh. Forget your troubles and dance. Forget your sorrows and dance. Forget your sickness and dance. Forget your weakness and dance. Cost of living gets so high. And poor, they start to cry. Now the weak must get strong. They say, oh, what a tribulation. Them belly full, but